الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم: إن خير التابعين رجل يقال له أويس بن عامر، فمن لقيه منكم فمروه فليستغفر لكم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, it has become the norm of our times that everybody wants to be associated with a big project and a big convention. It has become the norm of our times that everybody wants to be associated with a big project under the pretext of serving Islam in a big way. Under the pretext of serving Islam in a big way, on a macro level, with the hope of securing maximum reward and great success. This has become the order of the day. This has become the norm of the time. Although the logic and the rationale behind this theory might look bulletproof, who can doubt it? You want to go big, you want to be loud, you want to be public, you want coverage, you want mileage, do it on a large scale. So many people know about it. It attracts the masses in the thousands. The logic behind it looks bulletproof, but there is an underlying problem with the above theory. There is a major problem with the above theory. It suggests by implication, and listen to me clearly, it suggests by implication that the reward of an action is based on its value as perceived by us. It suggests by implication, go big, go public, go loud, go on a macro level, let it happen big time. Why? The perception is that as we view it, so will Allah accept it. So will Allah reward it. Whereas that's not the case. The value of an action is based on its actual goodness. The value of an action is based on its actual goodness, and that only Allah knows. That is why our pious predecessor, Salafus Salihin, despite performing the most meritorious of actions, feared that perhaps the act will be rejected. And they approached the smallest of actions with the enthusiasm of a desperate person who knows very well he needs every good that he can receive. And that brings me to an Arabic proverb. And this is something very vital and integral. And what is the Arabic proverb? خَيْرٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَيْرٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ كَسُّ لَحْفَاتِ فِي طَرِيقِ الْحَقِّ مِنْ أَنْ يَكُونَ غَزَالًا فِي طَرِيقِ الْخَطَئِ. It is better for you to do something small and slow. Small and minute, gradually, discreet, than to do something public and loud on a large scale. To quote this exact proverb, it is better to move at a snail's pace. It is better to move at the pace of a tortoise on the correct path than to run like a deer in the wrong direction. It is better to walk at a snail's pace. Today I'm afraid nobody wants to do something secret and private. It needs coverage, it needs mileage, it needs to be loud, It needs to be in the public domain. It must have be done on a macro level. Then only does it enjoy the stamp of acceptance. So is the perception in our circles. But what does the saying go? خَيْرٌ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَكُونَ كَالسُّلَحْفَاتِ فِي طَرِيقِ الْحَقِّ. So you're doing something small, something minute, something basic, but you're doing the correct thing and you're at it, you're constant. That is better than running like a deer on the wrong road. Now the hadith I quoted before you, and I just want to tap into the life of one hidden personality in the annals of this ummah, who was an embodiment of this particular description, who did something secret, who did it private, who never came in the public eye consciously and not even unwittingly. Whenever he seen the public recognizing him, he immediately left the place and took shelter elsewhere. So he wanted to keep his acts secret and he wanted to worship Allah privately, and in that way he passed on. And doing so, he enjoyed such a privilege that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna khayra at-tabi'in, inna khayra at-tabi'in, rajulun yuqalu lahu Uwais ibn Amir." After my Sahaba, the successes that followed, the noblest of them all is a man by the name of Uwais ibn Amir. He's not a Sahabi. But you, O the group of Sahaba, I exhort you and encourage you and implore you, if any one of you meets that non-Sahabi, make it a point to request du'as from him. So he never came in the public domain. He did his act quietly and secretly, lived his life. But he was bonded with his Creator that he enjoyed such a privilege. In Tafsir al-Zamakhshari it is written that the greatest acknowledgement that could be awarded to Ibrahim alayhi salam is this verse, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. It says if you put all the virtues of Ibrahim alayhi salam on one side, this virtue outweighs all the virtues. What is it? In this verse, Allah instructs the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Muhammad, even you follow Ibrahim. So to know that the greatest of humans were instructed to follow Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the profile of Ibrahim, that's the greatest credit. In the profile of Uwais, what more do you need when a group of individuals, by the declaration of the Quran, afallahu anhum, Allah had pardoned them, notwithstanding the fact that they enjoyed this honor and privilege, yet Allah said, when you meet this man, sit him down and request his du'as. So what was the tale and what was the mystery of Uwais ibn Amir? The hadith of Muslim Sharif first. كان عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه إذا أتى عليه أمداد أهل اليمن سأله أفيكم أويس بن عامر. Whenever the delegation of Yemen would come, Umar radiallahu anhu would question them, is there a gentleman amongst you by the name of Uwais ibn Amir? حتى أتى على أويس. Until one day he asked the people, is there anyone here in the group by the name of Uwais? So someone said, yeah, the gentleman here, he is Uwais. He said, أنت أويس بن عامر؟ Are you Uwais ibn Amir? He says, yes indeed. Min Murad thumma min Qarn. You belong to the Murad branch, the Qarn tribe. He said, yes indeed. Kana bika barasun, fa bara'ta minhu illa mawdi'a dirham. You suffered leprosy and then you were cured from your illness with the exception of the size of one dirham. He said, yes indeed. Now at this point I must share something else with you. I read this myself in the writings of Ibn Asakir in Tarikhu Madinati Dimishq, in the 9th volume. When I read this, Allah be my witness, I was shocked off my balance. This hadith that I was quoting appears in Muslim Sharif, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a description of this man. He suffers leprosy. His entire body was cured. Illa mawdi'a dirham, with the exception of the size of one dirham, there is the trace of illness that has remained on his body. But in Tariq al-Madinat al-Dimishq, in the 9th volume, in the writings of Ibn Asakir, he makes mention of the narration that him being cured with the exception of the size of one dirham was not a coincidence, but rather was in harmony with his request to Allah. He said, Allahumma da'li fi jasadi. Allahumma da'li fi jasadi. Minhuma adhkuru bihi ni'matak. O my Allah, I beg you, cure me from my illness of leprosy. But don't cure me totally. Leave a trace of the sickness so I can always remember the bounty of cure. I'm saying, my brother, have you ever heard of someone saying that I want a portion of the cancer to remain? Now these are the hidden friends of Allah. What was his dua? Allahumma da'li fi jasadi. O Allah, leave behind a trace of illness on my body. Is there any man that makes dua, O Allah, empower me, enrich me, but let me also have some degree of poverty and challenges? I'm afraid not. So this was his dua. And Allah responded to his dua, the manifestation of which was the description of Nabi alayhi salam, كَانَ بِهِ بَرَسٌ فَبَرِئَ مِنْهُ إِلَّا مَوْضِعَ دِرْهَمٍ. So Umar radiallahu anhu just did his checks and identified, if we're speaking to the very same person, are you the very gentleman? He said, yes indeed, I am that very same person. He said, okay, let me congratulate you, my brother. He said, that's fine. He said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying repeatedly, Umar, you will see a delegation of people from Yemen come in. And in that there will be this hidden man by the name of Uwais. Look at him. And when you meet him, مُرُوهُ فَلْيَسْتَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. And then request him, O Umar, you Umar, request this man to make dua that Allah must forgive you. Remember my opening comments? Today everybody wants to go public. Everybody wants to do it loud. I'm not suggesting for a moment that if it's public and it's loud and it's on a macro level, it's wrong. That's not my indications or my insinuations. But rather what I am saying, the perception that it has to be big for it to be correct, this is what we have to end. I am not suggesting by implication that if it's a large event, it is wrong. No, that's getting the wrong side of the stick. I'm saying this perception that if it's not big and it hasn't attracted the biggest of numbers, and if it's not done very formal and professional, then it's not accepted. No, سَبَقَ دِرْهَمٌ أَلْفَ دِرْهَمٌ. The Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, sometimes a man's charity of one dirham will far more attract the mercy of Allah than a man's charity of 100,000 dirhams. That is why the scholars have written, it does not constitute pride to say, I know more than you. A person knows 5 juz of the Quran and another brother knows 10 juz of the Quran. So one is more learned than the other. If this brother says, I know more, it's not pride, it's an acknowledgement of the reality. He knows 10, you know 5. If he says no, it's a lie. It's not humility. Brother, you know more. No. It's nothing to be humble about, you know more. That's not pride. But the perception that I know 10, so I'm better, that's the problem. Because Allah could accept his 5 and reject your 10. So my event can attract so many numbers. That's the truth. Yours had less numbers. That's the truth. I'm better. I'm afraid that's not the way it applies with Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu said, are you Uwais ibn Amr? He said, yes. Umar said, do me a favor. Please lift your hands and make dua for Umar ibn Khattab. A man who nobody knows. So Uwais fastaghfara lahu. Uwais radiallahu anhu lifted his hands, made dua for Umar. Oh Allah, forgive Umar. Everything is done. Hajj is over. The hadith of Muslim Sharif. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Aina turid? Where are you off to? He said, I'm residing in Kufa. Umar said, Aktubu laka ila amiliha? Aktubu laka ila amiliha? Can I communicate your profile? And can I let people know about the secret that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about you? And I would like the governor of Kufa to know, at least he can elevate your profile and he can give you the due recognition. Because I don't think people are aware who you are. So can I please write to the governor from me as the Amirul Mu'mineen and say, oh governor of Kufa, this man Uwais, even I want his du'as, and these are the prophecies of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in his favor. He held the hand of Umar. He said, Umar, by Allah, don't divulge my secret. By Allah, Umar, don't divulge my secret. أَكُونُ فِي غَبَرَاءِ النَّاسِ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ. By Allah, I want to live like this that nobody knows about me. Allah needs to know and he must be happy. أَكُونُ فِي غَبَرَاءِ النَّاسِ. To live in the downtrodden, unknown people, away from the public domain, away from the spotlight, away from coverage and recognition, that's what I'm looking for. Umar tried to insist, he refused. Umar said, okay, I respect your views, and no problem. Umar radiallahu anhu left him, he goes back. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَمُّ الْمُقْبِلِ حَجَّ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَشْرَافِهِمْ. The following year, there was another delegation that came from Yemen. And amongst them, there was a very prominent person. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ أُوَيْسَ بْنَ عَامِرِ. You folks are from Yemen? Yeah. You guys know a man by the name of Uwais? Yeah. تَرَكْتُهُ رَثَّ الْبَيْتِ قَلِيلَ الْمَتَاعِ. Uwais. Oh, the beggar Uwais. Yeah, I know the beggar. Yeah. The pauper Uwais. Those are the words of the hadith. This isn't my description. I'm not adding words here. The hadith of Muslim Sharif. But you people know Uwais, stay in your people. You come from Yemen? Which locality? You belong to Murad branch? Yeah. Okay, there's a gentleman there by the name of Uwais. Yeah, he's speaking about that beggar man that's always on the street who doesn't have shelter and food. تَرَكْتُهُ رَثَّ الْبَيْتِ قَلِيلَ الْمَتَاعِ. Umar said, must I tell you about this man? He said, yes indeed, tell me please. He said, these are the profound sentiments of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam regarding this man. This man was drenched in his embarrassment. Umar, what are you telling us? I don't even greet the man, I don't even give him a second glance. He said, I'm telling you, the Prophet ﷺ told us that he's the Sahaba, wherever you see him, request his du'as. He said, Umar, I appreciate your sentiments and I'm going to make it a conscious point. Anyway, the man, after completing his hajj, he heads back home. He comes to Yemen, suddenly comes knocking on the door with utmost respect. Oh, Uwais, how are you? I have come to request your du'as. Uwais had his contact with Allah. He maybe didn't have the modern technology, but he had his bonding with Allah. He said, أَنْتَ عَهْدَثُ عَهْدًا بِسَفَرٍ صَالِحٍ. You've returned from Hajj and you've met Umar. You've returned from Hajj and you've met Umar. And it's Umar that is blowing the whistle about me. He said, yes, I have nothing to hide, that's the truth. I want to kiss your feet and apologize. I honestly didn't know your profile. I didn't know who you were. He said, okay, no problem. Make dua for me. He said, I made dua for him. And he said, fan malasa minni. Now this was the whole thing. I will share some other narrations. This was the amazing thing of Uwais. As soon as he realized that people became aware of him, he left that place and went away. As soon as he realized, now we have a dedicated agenda that people need to realize us. We live in the place because people are not recognizing us. The people here are not giving me the due status that I need. You don't know me, brother? Allahu Akbar. Those are the sentiments, either through body language or verbally. And what were his sentiments? This is I read in all the narrations of Uwais. As soon as a person identified his secret, his profile, that was the last you met the man, you can now forget about ever trying to locate him again. One narration. Another narration, Muslim Sharif. When the delegation came, كَانَ فِيهِمْ رَجُلٌ يَسْخَرُ بِأُوَيْسِ. Amongst the group of those who came from Yemen for Hajj, there was a person who not only knew Uwais, but it was his practice daily to scoff, mock and jeer at Uwais. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, Man huna min ahli al-Kufa? Man huna min Murad? Man huna min Qarn? Anybody here from Kufa, from Murad, from Qarn? They said, yeah. وَكَانَ فِيهِمْ رَجُلٌ يَسْخَرُ بِأُوَيْسٍ. He said, كَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ خَلِيلِي? How's my friend? How's my acquaintance there? Everybody's, who's your friend in Yemen? He said, Uwais, this man was so embarrassed because his agenda every day used to scoff at him and laugh at him. And Umar ibn Khattab announcing on the plains of Arafat that this is my friend and the friend of Allah and that of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He went back and he begged for forgiveness. He begged for forgiveness. Usayr ibn Jabir says, I was in Kufa. So a friend of mine told me, you want to meet Uwais ibn Amir? I said, you know, I've been dying to meet the man. They said, the gentleman there, that is Uwais. فَتَنَحَّى إِلَى سَارِيَةٍ And then he just was facing a pillar. ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ He observed two rakat salah. As soon as he completed the two rakat salah, now we knew he wasn't comfortable with people around him. He was very uncomfortable when people would crowd him. But we seized the opportunity. We said, a man like this, when will we meet again? So we came close to him. أَقْبَلَ عَلَيْنَا بِوَجْهِ He turned around and he looked at us. And he said, مَا لِي وَلَكُمْ تَطَعُونَ عَقَبِي People, can I ask you people politely to back off? You know what you have to do in life and I know what I have to do in my life. Stop crowding around me. Stop crowding around me. وَأَنَا إِنسَانٌ ضَعِيفٌ تَكُونُ لِي الْحَاجَةِ فَلَا أَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهَا مَعَكُمْ I'm a weak person and I have my own sins. I need to do my own things. You leave me alone and you do you what you have to do and I do what I have to. So we said, yes, Uwais, we understand you and we know that's your constant slogan that you're ordinary and simple. But you're a great man. Give us some advice. Give us some advice. So he gave us three pertinent advices. Well, one, but it could be understood in three different ways. He said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْمَجْلِسَ يَغْشَاهُ ثَلَاثَةُ نَفَرٍ You know, the gatherings of deen are frequented and attended by three categories of people. مُؤْمِنٌ فَقِيهٌ وَمُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ وَمُنَافِقٌ مُؤْمِنٌ فَقِيهٌ وَمُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ وَمُنَافِقٌ In the gathering of deen, there are three people. There is that believer who comes to listen, who in addition to being a believer, is acquainted with the sciences of Islam as well. So he understands the intricacies of Islam, and he is a genuine, honest, sincere believer. Then you have the other believer, مُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ Who is a genuine, honest, sincere seeker, desire, but he or she does not have the knowledge and the sciences of Islam. And the third one that attends the gathering, don't be fooled by him, he's a munafiq and a hypocrite. Then he said, وَذَلِكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِثْلُ الْغَيْثِ وَذَلِكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا مِثْلُ الْغَيْثِ And this example in this world is like rain. يُصِيبُ الشَّجَرَةَ الْمُثْمِرَةَ فَتَزْدَادُ حُسْنًا وَإِنَاعًا وَثَمَرَةً When rain falls on a tree that bears fruit, that means the believer who has the knowledge of deen, when the rain of the knowledge of Islam and the discourses and the pearls of Islam fall upon such an individual, then what happens? It enhances the superiority of the fruit that that tree will bear. So when a believer who has iman attends a gathering, who was bearing fruit previously to attending that gathering, it enhances his quality. It makes him such a greater person. وَمُؤْمِنٌ غَيْرُ فَقِيهٍ And the second person is a mu'min who doesn't have the understanding of the deep sciences of Islam. When the rain falls upon him, تَزْدَادُ وَرَقَهَا حُسُنًا وَيَكُونُ لَهَا ثَمَرًا So by him coming to a convention like this, attending a program like this, it was a tree, meaning it was iman, which previously did not have fruit. And after a gathering like this, it starts bearing fruit. You see the molding of this person. You see the character of this person. You see the vision of this person. It changes his whole perception of life. And the third one, and Allah save one and all, وَمُنَافِقٌ وَذَلِكَ مِثْلُ الْهَشِيمِ وَذَلِكَ مِثْلُ الْهَشِيمِ It's like water that is falling on dry stalk, or water that is falling just on leaves that had fallen away from a tree. And then he recited the verse of the Quran, وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِّلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا وَيُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِّلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا Allah says He sends down in the Quran that which is a source of guidance and cure for the believers. وَلَا يَزِيدُ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا خَسَارًا But the very thing that cures one becomes poison for the others. It adds to the disobedience of the transgressors and those that have violated the orders of Allah. He said, that's my advice and that's it. Now leave me and don't follow behind me and don't tag along. And he left us and he went away. And Usayr ibn Jabir said, I will cherish that meeting and I will value that words till the day I die. Harim ibn Hayyan was a great tabi'i. Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi had spoken very, very profoundly about him. He said, I had heard about this man Uwais so much that I decided in my life, before I die, I want to meet this man. But like I said, he was a very, you see, you get some people that are low profile, but they are high flyers in the eyes of Allah. They are high flyers. You get other guys that they are high profile, but they're low flyers. Meaning they have a very big image and an entourage and a presence and a cavalcade and pomp and glory around them. So the perception is these are some people. But when it comes to any contact between, and only Allah can judge, only Allah can judge. This man is clear cut, not my opinion or your opinion, the clear hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Harim ibn Hayyan said, قَدِمْتُ الْكُوفَةَ, I came to Kufa. فَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي هَمٌ إِلَّا أُوَيْسَ الْقَرْنِ, I traveled all the way and Allah be my witness, my only aim was to meet this man. And I started searching and looking for him. حَتَّى سَقَدْتُ عَلَيْهِ نِصْفَ النَّهَارِ عَلَى شَاطِئِ الْفُرَاتِ يَتَوَضَّأُ أَوْ يَغْسِلُ ثَوْبَهُ, I'm looking from the morning at about midday. At about midday, I caught sight of him. He was sitting on the banks of the Euphrates River, alone, isolated from everyone. He was washing his clothes and thereafter he was making wudu. فَعَرَفْتُهُ بِالنَّعْتِ الَّذِي وُصِفَ لِي. This is mentioned in the Tariqh of Madinat al-Dimash in the 9th volume. فَعَرَفْتُهُ بِالنَّعْتِ الَّذِي نُعِتَ لِي. From a distance, I recognized him because people had described him to me that this is his physique, this is his height, this is his appearance. So I didn't ask any questions. I realized him. فَإِذَا رَجُلٌ لَحِيمٌ آدَمٌ مَحْلُوقُ الرَّأْسِ كَثَّ اللَّحْيَ. At a distance, I seen he was quite muscular. He had a dense beard. His head was cleanly shaven. And he was tan in complexion. I looked at him. I matched it. I said, no, this is the man. This is the very person that Umar was also cherishing his meeting. So I came to him and I said, حَيَّاكَ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَجُلٍ يَا أُوَيْسَ بْنَ عَامِرٍ كَيْفَ أَنْتَ غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. I said, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَوْ أُوَيْسَ. How are you, my good brother? May Allah preserve you for years to come. How are you keeping? He looked at me. He said, وَعَلَيْكَ السَّلَامُ كيف أنت يا هرم ابن حيان. I was shocked off my balance. I said, I've heard a lot about this man. فعجبت حين عرفني وعرف اسم أبي ولم أكن رأيته قبل ذلك اليوم ولا رآني. By Allah, we had never met. We were never introduced. He had never seen me. And he made one glance and he recognized me through my name and my father's name. So I mastered the courage and I said, كَيْفَ عَرَفْتَ إِسْمِي وَإِسْمَ أَبِي. O Harim, with respect, O Uwais, how do you know me? He said, عَرَفَتْ رُوحِي رُوحَكْ حِينَ كَلَّمَتْ نَفْسِي نَفْسَكْ. عَرَفَتْ رُوحِي رُوحَكْ حِينَ كَلَّمَتْ نَفْسِي نَفْسَكْ. You know, when you spoke to me, when we spoke as individuals, my soul recognized your soul. Now this is another world altogether you're talking about. And by the way, he's the pauper of Yemen. My opening sentiments, and I want to drive hard on a point here. Do something small and simple, but let it be correct and win the pleasure of Allah. The ayat-e kareem I recited, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو مِنْكُمْ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. If you want to meet your Allah, do something exclusively for His pleasure. exclusively for his pleasure with no other object. Anyway, I said, Uwais, I have come here specially to meet you. I have no other intention. I'm just wondering if you'll be kind enough. حَدِّثْنِي بِحَدِيثٍ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَحْفَظُ عَنْكَ. Could you perhaps convey to me a hadith that you heard from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So he said, inni lam udrik rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam wa lam takun li ma'ahu sahbatun walakin adraktu rijalan ra'awhu fahaddathuni anhu nahwa ma haddathuka. The reality is, my brother, I have not seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I don't enjoy the privilege of being a sahabi. But I have met people who had seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the Sahaba, and they have narrated hadith to me as they have narrated hadith to you. So via the Sahaba, I have heard many hadith, directly I have heard nothing. وَلَسْتُ أُحِبُّ Read, listen to this. وَلَسْتُ أُحِبُّ أَنْ أَفْتَحَ هَذَا الْبَابَ عَلَى نَفْسِي أَنْ أَكُونَ مُحَدِّثًا قَاسًا أَوْ مُفْتِيًا لِي شُغْلٌ عَنِ النَّاسِ يَا هَرِمْ. You know what, Harim? I heard many hadith, and I can start quoting, but I'm afraid it might open up the door that people start glorifying me, which I don't like. If I open up the door and the channels and the avenues and start quoting hadith and narrating tales and making this reference, the next best thing, there's going to be people around me and I'm not that comfortable with this. Li shughlun, I got a lot of things to sort out in my life, myself. So Harim, you know, just leave me alone. So Harim said, now I'm thinking, yeah, like him all the way. I really want to learn something from the man. I said, okay, iqra alayya ayatum min kitabillah asma'uha minka. Wad'u li da'watin ahfadhuha anka. Do me two things. Read some verses of the Quran. And then make some du'as in my favor. Make some du'as in my favor. And, you know, I won't pursue you any more than that. فَأَخَذَ بِي وَمَشَى بِي عَلَى شَاطِئِ الْفُرَاتِ. He said, okay, come ya Harim. He then held my hand and we started strolling on the banks of the Euphrates River. Oh, what an honor for Harim. What an honor for Harim. If only that becomes the passion of my young boy. Not to stroll with a strange woman at an exotic resort, but rather to hold the hand of a pious man and stroll and learn from his knowledge. فَأَخَذَ بِي فَمَشَى بِي عَلَى شَاطِئِ الْفُرَاتِ. He started walking on the banks of the Euphrates River. And he read the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا بَاطِلًا ذَلِكَ ظَنُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا فَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنَ النَّارِ. We have not created the heavens and the earth in vain. That is the idea of those who don't believe in Allah. Woe be to such people. Then he said, Harim, I said, yes indeed, always I'm listening. مَاتَ أَبُوكَ آدَمْ. Your father Adam has passed away. وَمَاتَتْ حَوَّى. And your mother Hawa has passed away. وَمَاتَ آدَمْ سَفِيُّ اللَّهِ. وَمَاتَ إِبْرَاهِيمْ خَلِيفَةُ اللَّهِ. وَمَاتَ إِبْرَاهِيمْ خَلِيلُ اللَّهِ. وَآدَمُ خَلِيفَةُ اللَّهِ. Adam has passed away, and Ibrahim has passed away, and Musa has passed away, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. وَمَاتَ أَبُو بَكْرٍ خَلِيفَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And Abu Bakr has passed away. وَمَاتَ صَفِيِّي وَخَلِيلِي عُمَر. And my very, very good friend, my bosom friend, Umar has passed away. And then he said, wa Umara, wa Umara, wa Umara. Oh, Umar was what a great man. Oh, Umar was what an amazing man. وَعُمَرُ يَوْمَئِذٍ حَيٌّ وَذَلِكَ فِي آخِرِ خِلَافَتِهِ. And Umar was alive. So I'm saying now, you know, I don't want to be rude. He's saying, Umar has passed away, but the man is alive. So when he ended and he was a bit emotional, I said, Inna Umar lam yamut. You know, and sometimes this is, we think we know. Not we know, we think we know. So I said, Uwais, if I can just do some rectification, just to clear the air and set the record, Umar has not passed away. He said, Bala qad na'ahu ilayya rabbi. Listen, I am telling you, I have been informed already. Umar is in the tail end of his day. Count the days, he'll be gone. I'm telling you. So I just kept quiet and I realized that this man is obviously having some other information which I don't know. Bala qad na'ahu ilayya rabbi. And it's not only Umar that is gone. Wa ana wa anta ghadan fil mauta. You and I are also dead. You and I are also dead. Then he said, Harim, I need to leave you now. I cannot spend too much time with anyone. This is my pattern of life. But I'm going to give you some advices. Now listen to these advices. Number one, he said, La tanzur fi sigari dhambik, walakin inzur man asayta. فَإِنْ صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ صَغَّرْتَ رَبَّكَ وَإِنْ عَظَّمْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ عَظَّمْتَ رَبَّكَ. How do you translate this? Oh, now these are the hidden friends of Allah. لَا تَنْذُرْ فِي صِغَرِ ذَنْبِكَ وَلَكِنْ انْذُرْ مَنْ عَصَيْتَ. Harim, I'm giving you one advice of life. Don't ever look at how trivial or insignificant or minute your sin or your offense is. But rather see whose order you have violated. فَإِن صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ صَغَّرْتَ رَبَّكَ. If you consider your crime and your offense trivial, you have in essence considered your Allah insignificant. فَإِن صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ صَغَّرْتَ رَبَّكَ. And I always am reminded by the profound advice of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, يَا صَاحِبَ الذَّنْبِ لَا تَأْمَنْ عَاقِبَةَ ذَنْبِكَ. O Sana, after you have sinned, don't relax. Don't think it's over. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتْبَعُ الذَّنْبَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. Many a times your arrogant attitude after the crime is worse than the zina itself. Many a times your arrogant attitude after playing the lottery and popping the pill and womanizing is worse than the zina itself. فَإِنَّ عَدَمَ إِسْتِحْيَائِكَ مِمَّنْ عَلَى يَمِيلِكَ وَمِمَّنْ عَلَى شِمَالِكَ وَأَنْتَ تَقْتَرِفُ الذَّنْبَ لَا يَقِلُّ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ. When you were indulging and perpetrating the crime, did you not think for a moment that there were angels recording? At least you could show some respect to those angels. The fact that you lack modesty for those angels, that is worse than the sin. وَإِنَّ ذِحْكَكَ عِنْدَ الذَّنْبِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا اللَّهُ صَانِعٌ بِكَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. And while you're chatting and flirting and popping a pill and clubbing, you're laughing away, knowing not what Allah is going to do with you. Your laughter while you sin is worse than the sin. وَإِنَّ فَرْحَكَ بِالذَّنْبِ إِذَا ظَفِرْتَ بِهِ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. And finally you laid your hands on the woman of your choice. And finally you popped the pill. And finally you played the casino. So you feel a feeling of accomplishment that I've lived up to my aspiration and ambition. This joy that you supposedly receive on the crime is worse than your laughter while sinning. وَإِنَّ حُزْنَكَ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ إِذَا فَاتَكَ أَعْظَمُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. And worse than your joy is your friend who regrets that he couldn't come on Saturday and club. So in essence, he's regretting that I couldn't sin. His sadness that he couldn't sin is worse than your happiness that you sin. Ya Harim ibn Hayyan, لا تنظر في صغر ذنبك ولكن انذر من عصيت. My advice to you is, Harim, when you sin, don't think it's a small sin. Realize who you have disobeyed. فَإِن صَغَّرْتَ ذَنْبَكَ فَقَدْ صَغَّرْتَ رَبَّكَ. If that words can just ring in your ears for the rest of your life, our whole convention today is worth our get together here today. If you consider your crime trivial, you consider your Allah nothing. You consider your Allah to be insignificant and minute and valueless. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا. ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا وقد خلقكم أطوارا. What is the matter with you? You show no respect to Allah. وإن عظمت ذنبك فقد عظمت ربك. And if you consider the crime to be serious, then you obviously have honored the glory and the greatness of Allah. That's my first advice to you, O Harim. The second advice that I'm giving to you, Harim, make it a conscious point in your life to go and constantly visit the pious people. Make it a point. He obviously didn't say it in regard to himself. Because me, often when we say, we actually hint in. You know, in other words, come more often. Go visit the pious. In other words, come more often. No. Make it a conscious point to go and visit the pious people. I mean, today, in case of surgery, we track down the best of surgeons till we come and narrow it down. He's rated one of the best in the world. He's the three best surgeons in the country. He's the dean of the faculty. He's been rated. We track down the best of surgeons for our medical health. How about tracking down the oasis of our time? That's the second advice. The third advice, عليك بذكر الموت لا يفارق قلبك طرفة عين. Oh Harim, think of death for the rest of your life. And don't become oblivious of the thought of death for one second in your whole life. Don't become oblivious of the thought of death for one second in your life. He then read lots and lots of salawat and abundance of durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said, can we call it a day? And can we then formally end this gathering? I've got things to do. And he said to him then in the end, last words to you, O Harim. La tatlubni ba'da hadha fa inni la araak. La tatlubni ba'da hadha fa inni la araak. Fa ana shadidul ghammi kathirul hammi. Listen, let me spell it to you in reality. In future, you will not find me and don't even endeavor to find me. I've got a lot of things in my life and I've got to rectify myself with my Creator. وَأَنَا أَكْرَهُ الشُّهْرَةَ. I cannot handle fame and crowds and people and publicity. I'm very, very uncomfortable. فَلَا تَتْلُبْنِي. So after this day, you will not look for me. So I still tried to hold him back, but he said, no, this is where it ends. فَجَهَدْتُ أَنْ أَمْشِي مَعَهُ سَاعَةً فَأَبَى. He said this and then he started walking away. And I tried to follow and then he refused. And as he started walking, يَبْكِي وَأَنَا أَبْكِي حَتَّى تَوَارَى عَنِّي. It was so emotional that he started tearing and I started sobbing. And I was crying. I said, Uwais, can I have more of you? Uwais, can I have more of you? And he said no and he walked away. And that was the last. After that, I asked many people. I never seen him. مَا أَتَتْ عَلَيَّ جُمْعَةٌ إِلَّا وَأَنَا أَرَاهُ فِي مَنَامِ مَرَّةً أَوْ مَرَّتَيْنِ. But alhamdulillah, because of my desire, Harim ibn Hayyan says, a week doesn't pass in my life but that I see Uwais twice in my dream. A week doesn't pass in my life but that I see Uwais twice in my dream. I'm saying a man who the hadith of Muslim said, a beggar and a pauper, and he knows when Umar will be passing away. Look at who he was. Another narration also mentioned there in Tariq al-Madinah al-Dimashq. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sitting with the Sahaba. He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ الْأَصْفِيَا الْأَتْقِيَا. Allah loves the pious from amongst his servants. الأصفياء الأتقياء. الأصفياء الأتقياء. الشعثة رؤوسهم، المغبرة وجوههم، الخمصة بطونهم من كسب الحلال، الذين إذا استأذنوا على الأمراء لم يؤذن لهم، وإن خطبوا المتنعمات لم ينكحوا، وإن طلعوا لم يفرح بطلعتهم، وإن مرضوا لم يعادوا، وإن ماتوا لم يشهدوا. قالوا: يا رسول الله، كيف لنا برجل منهم؟ قال: ذاك أويس القرني. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah loves these servants of him that keep themselves secret. Describe them, O Nabi of Allah, أَشَّعَثَةُ رُؤُوسُهُمْ. You will find often their hair is disheveled. أَلْمُغَبَّرَةُ وُجُوهُهُمْ. Their faces are dusty. أَلْخَمَسَةُ بُطُونُهُمْ مِنْ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ. Simply because they restrict themselves only to that which is pure and halal, they are often very hungry. الَّذِينَ إِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوا عَلَى الْأُمَرَىٰ لَمْ يُؤْذَنْ لَهُمْ. If they want to have a meeting with high profile people, they'll be shunned because of their appearance. وَإِنْ خَطَبُوا الْمُتَنَعِّمَاتِ لَمْ يُنْكَحُوا. If they propose to a beautiful woman, they won't even consider their proposals. إِنْ طَلَعُوا لَمْ يُفْرَحْ بِطَلَعَتِهِمْ. Their presence in a gathering does not enhance the profile of that gathering. Their absence is not felt. Abu Huraira said, O Nabi of Allah, you're just going on describing more and more. Tell us, give us an example of a man like this. Nabi Sassam said, Uwais Qarni, who else? Dhaka Uwais al-Qarni. It is mentioned about him, his ibadat used to be as follows. He used to say, Hadihi Laylatul Ruku. This is the night of Ruku, then the whole night he used to make Ruku. Then the next night he would say, Hadihi Laylatul Sujood. This is the night of Sajda, then the whole night was Sajda. Kana idha amsa, تصدق بما في بيته من الطعام والثياب ثم يقول اللهم من مات جوعا فلا تؤاخذني به ومن مات عريانا فلا تؤاخذني به. By the evening before the sun could set, whatever food he had, he would give it out. And then he would say, Allah, if any of your creation is dying anywhere in the world because of hunger, I beg you, don't hold me accountable. I have nothing in my house. And by the evening, whatever clothes he had, additional surplus, he would dispose of it. And he said, Allah, if anybody is dying in the world out of nudity and out of lack of shelter, Allah, فَلَا تُؤَخِذْنِي بِهِ. Don't hold me accountable. So what I'm saying is, again, to do something quietly, secretly. And again, the object is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The object is to please Allah. Aisha radiallahu anha said, إِنَّكُمْ لَتَغْفُلُونَ أَنْ أَفْضَلِ الْعِبَادَاتِ. O people, you are doing every ibadat but the best ibadat. Aisha radiallahu anha said, O people, you are worshipping Allah in everything but the best thing. People said, what is that? She said, humility and simplicity. You people are doing everything but the main thing. So they said, what is it? Aisha radiallahu anha said, humility and simplicity. Another example to share with you. Umair ibn As-Sa'd radiallahu anhu was one of the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Umar radiallahu anhu had deputed him as the governor of Hims. Hims geographically is a location in present day Damascus. It is between Halab and between Dimashq. There was a town by the name of Hims. The people of this place had a reputation of being very hostile to their governors, and they were never happy. So any governor who would serve there, within months, his period would be ended and terminated, and nobody could really stand the post there due to the nature of the people. So Umar radiallahu anhu decided that in a place like this, we need a good man, and we're going to depute Umair ibn As-Sa'd radiallahu anhu. So anyway, he deputes Umair ibn As-Sa'd, and he says, you know what, I'm making you the governor of Hims. He makes him the governor of Hims. قضى عمير بن سعد حولا كاملا في مصر في حمص. He spends one entire year as the governor of Hims. لم يكتب خلاله لأمير المؤمنين كتابا ولم يبعث إلى بيت مال المسلمين من الفيء درهما ولا دينارا. In that one entire year that he was deputed, there was no correspondence, there was no communication, no letters were communicated, no messages were communicated, and no revenue was sent to the national treasury. So one entire year, no communication, no funds are forthcoming. فَأَخَذَتِ الشُّكُوكُ تُسَاوِرُ عُمَرُ. إذ كان شديد الخشية على ولاته من فتنة الإمارة. فعمر رضي الله عنه started panicking now. 1 year, no money, no communication. You know what? What happened? My son is married so good that you don't phone also. He's married so good that we haven't heard from you again. 1 year we haven't heard. Now Umar used to keep a very vigilant eye. He used to keep a very, very vigilant eye on all his governors. So he called, فَقَالَ عُمَرُ لِكَاتِبِهِ اُكْتُبْ إِلَىٰ عُمَيْرِ بْنِ سَعْدٍ وَقُلْ لَهُ إِذَا جَاءَكَ كِتَابُ أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ فَدَعْ حِمْسَ وَأَقْبِلْ عَلَيْهِ وَأَحْمِلْ مَعَكَ مَا جَبَيْتَ مِنْ فَيْءِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. He wrote a letter to Umair ibn Sa'd, told his scribe, write and tell him that when you receive this letter from Amir al-Mu'mineen, you leave Hims and you come away to Medina, and whatever money you have accumulated in the interim, you bring it and come. So he received the letter. There was nothing to panic about. His audits were in place. Everything was done. So he comes. How does he come? يَحُثُّ الْخُطَى مَشْيًا عَلَىٰ قَدَمَيْهِ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. The governor of Hims is coming walking to Medina. The governor of Hims is coming walking to Medina. فَمَا بَلَغَ عُمَيْرٌ الْمَدِينَةِ حَتَّى قَدْ شَحِبَ لَوْنُهُ وَطَالَ شَعْرُهُ وَظَهَرَتْ عَلَيْهِ وَعْثَاءُ السَّفَرِ. He had become weak, he had become thin, he had become frail, he had become ill. When he enters by Umar ibn Khattab, now Umar is still entertaining so much reservation and apprehension and confusion. I wonder, perhaps, who knows, question marks, we haven't heard, probe this. فَدُّهِشَ الْفَارُوقُ مِنْ حَالَتِهِ وَقَالَ مَا بِكَ يَا عُمَيْرُ. Umar radiallahu anhu was shocked. Umar, what happened to you? You've gone so frail and so weak. مَا بِي مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَأَنَا صَحِيحٌ مُعَافًا بِحَمْدِ اللَّهِ. Umar, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm fine, I'm healthy. أَحْمِلُ مَعِي الدُّنْيَا كُلَّهَا. I practically own the whole world. I practically own the whole world. What is enough, my brother? Enough is what you decide is enough. Enough has no definition. And I said this, an ordinary simple tailor taught me a lesson. Once I took some garments to him to sew and, you know, just to do it for me. And then when I went back to him and I asked him how much, he said, no, leave it. And I said, no, you have to pay me. So he took a very meager amount to appease me. And I said, it's not enough. And he said, Maulana, there's no definition to enough. Enough is what I decide or what you decide, that is enough. I said, you're right, my brother. You've taught me a lesson. The other day I went and one brother, you know, and I always ask Allah to give me these inspirations. We learn from people. I went to a hair salon, a good friend of mine's. So we always chat and speak. He said, I'm going to ask you a question today, Sheikh. I said, please do tell me. He said, what is the most challenging and daunting moment in the life of an atheist or an agnostic? I said, you got me thinking. And I was just going for the basic trim and a haircut. He said, I'm asking you a question. What is the most challenging moment in the life of an atheist or an agnostic? I applied my mind. I said, no, I don't have the answer. He said, the most daunting moment in the life of an atheist is, after owning everything, he's got no one to thank. Oh, we say it so casually, but we don't know how wholesome. Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, shukr to Allah, thanks to Allah. After owning health, he doesn't know who to thank. After owning, who does he thank? He said, that's the most lonely moment in the life of an atheist. My brother, even if you're in a crisis, you are in the biggest of calamities, but when you take that prayer mat and you cry, you are not alone, there's someone hearing you. And even if your problem is not solved, but after you cry, you feel light on your heart. Because you know your Allah has heard you. This guy owns everything, he buys a brand new car, he buys a brand new house. What does he say? And you know, I said, you hit me, Allahu Akbar. I said, today you've taught me a lesson of life. And since that day, whenever I say gratitude to Allah, I try and say it with cherishing it, appreciating how casually I say it, but an atheist is devoid of this. He owns, but he doesn't know. He's cured from a sickness, but he doesn't know who to thank. So Umair ibn Sa'd says, I own the whole world. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَمَا مَعَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا? What do you have? He said, مَعِي جِرَابِي وَضَعْتُ فِيهِ زَادِي. I've got my bag in which is my food. وَمَعِي قَصْعَتِي أَكُلُ فِيهَا. I've got my platter from which I eat. وَمَعِي قِرْبَةٌ لِوُضُوءِ وَشَرَابِي. And I got my water bag in which I drink water and I perform ablution. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, وَهَلْ جِئْتَ مَاشِيًا? You left him as the governor and you came. Now you don't want to know what the packages of the retired governors of today are. The retired, leave alone those that have been suspended. Impeachment. Violation. And yet, handsome salaries, fat packages are rolling. وَهَلْ جِئْتَ مَاشِيًا? Have you come walking? He says, yes. أَمَا أُعْتِيتَ مِنَ الْإِمَارَةِ دَبَّةً تَرْكَبُهَا? Were you not given a conveyance by the state? When you arrive there, then obviously you are the member of a cabinet. And part of our agreements in place is that you, the perks are that you'll be given a conveyance. You don't want to know the travel expenses of ministers. He said, هُمْ لَمْ يُعْتُونِي وَأَنَا لَمْ أَتْلُبْ مِنْهُمْ. They didn't make the proposal and I never asked for it. So I left it like that. He said, okay, no problem. أَيْنَمَا أَتَيْتَ بِهِ لِبَيْتِ الْمَالِ. That money I told you to bring for Baytul Mal. Where's the money? لَمْ أَتِي بِشَيْءٍ. I don't have a dime with me. I don't have a dime. قَالَ وَلِمَا. Why you don't have money? He said, لَمَّا وَصَلْتُ إِلَىٰ حِمْسِ جَمَعْتُ صُلَحَاءَ أَهْلِهَا وَوَلَّيْتُهُمْ جَمْعَ فَيْئِهِمْ. When I got there, the first thing I did was I gathered the pious people. And I said, look, your money issues are very sensitive. They are very thorny, they're very contentious. And when it comes to money, then the pious of people's hands also can get burnt. And the implication what funds can leave behind a stigma on my name. So I don't want to control funds at all. And I don't want to be accused of mismanagement and embezzlement of funds. So I'm deputing you people, you collect your own revenue. You collect your own revenue. I don't want to put my hands in the money matters. I will be the governor, but in money, I don't want to touch my hands. Today, everybody, you do everything. Money, my brother, I'm certain. Like that one brother told me, he said, Sheikh, there's only one thing I can do in dark, is count money. I won't find my keys also. I won't find my phone. But ask me to count money in dark, I'll do it for you. So what I did, I gathered everyone. فَكُلَّمَا جَمَعُوا شَيْئًا إِسْتَشَرْتُهُمْ فِي أَمْرِهِ وَوَضَعْتُهُ فِي مَوَاضِعِهِ وَأَنْفَقْتُهُ عَلَى الْمُسْتَحِقِّينَ مِنْهُمْ. Whenever they would gather the funds, then we would sit down, we would have a meeting, and then we would, reflect and apply our minds how to dispense the funds. And then those who we would identify as eligible and legitimate cases, we would then channel the funds in there. Umar was so impressed. He was so impressed. Now understand, the measures of Umar were very stringent. The measures of Umar were very stringent. You were subjected to a very, very harsh form of ruler, and that was to keep you on track. But it left Umar so impressed. فَقَالَ عُمَرُ لِكَاتِبِهِ جَدِّدْ عَهْدًا لِعُمَيْرٍ عَلَىٰ وِلَايَةِ حِمْسِ. I as the head of state, hereby extend the contract. Today if you see, and Africa is a typical example, as soon as the man sits in his inauguration speech, he already announces that he is willing to serve two terms. MashaAllah. As soon as he sits down in the seat, he is forthcoming. Folks, I will sit here and I don't mind spending two terms and even three terms. By the way, last week I was in Harare, Zimbabwe. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Jaddid ahdan. Now let's not elevate it to the political arena. Let's bring the matter home. In our small, simple organizations, what is the plot? What is the aim? Are we focused or have we made other things the aim and the objective? Umar said, renew the agreement of Umair ibn Sa'd. He is going to be now still considered the governor of Hims. And I hereby extend the period of Umair over Hims. فَقَالَ عُمَيْرٌ هَيْهَاتَ 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 هَيْهَاتَ. Umair stood up, he said, Umar, with respect to your seniority, I salute your profile, But there's no way you're going to impose that position on me for a day again in my life. There's no way you're going to make me sit there for one day. Umar caught his legs and begged him, we need people like you. He said, forget about it. لَنْ أَسْتَعْمِلَ لَكَ وَلَا لِأَحَدٍ بَعْدَكَ يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. I need to move on, let fresh blood come in, let new people take over and move on. I need to sort out myself with my Allah. I need to sort out myself with my Allah. And let me make the record correctly, Umar, if Allah spares me, I will not accept this post for any Khalifa that is to succeed you also. So I don't have an issue with you, I have an issue with the post. I don't have an issue with you. It's not a personality clash. I will not accept this post with you or for anyone. And then, ثُمَّ اسْتَأْذَنَهُ فِي الذِّهَابِ إِلَىٰ قَرْيَةٍ مِنْ ذِوَاحِ الْمَدِينَةِ. He said, Umar, what I'm going to ask you is, I want to now stay outside the city of Medina, on the outskirts of Medina. I don't want to be in the center of activity, in the hub, in the fame, in the, you know, where the limelight is happening. If I could be given a place in Medina, but on the most remote edge of Medina, I'm happy to be there, and that is where I want to worship my Allah. Umar tried to pursue him, but to no avail, and then Umar had to consent and said, okay, well, if that's what you choose for your life, and that's how you wish to spend your life, then that's good. So anyway, he goes. Today, I mean, you know, how many times we find people that are still in office and everything, and they're on the life support machine. You know? So you sit and wonder, man, you know, is it a name? Have we become so desperate? Have we lost the plot? Do we just want a name? Do we just want a recognition? Or are we serving the cause? Anyway, he goes away on the outskirts of Medina and he stays there. Our topic is the hidden friends of Allah. Our topic is, it doesn't have to be big and loud to impress Allah and to win Allah's happiness. It can be small and simple, basic and gradual, and Allah is pleased with you. Umar radiallahu anhu said, now this is also a very important thing. Islamically, we've been exhorted to think good of people. But that we must create a distinction between thinking good and being gullible. Islam doesn't tell us we must be gullible. And you know what? Anybody who markets an image and presents himself pious, we revere him, put him on our shoulders, is a great man. After he went away on the outskirts of Medina, Umar called one man by the name of Harith. Umar said, let's do some checks on the man. Let's do some checks on him. Not Googling a check or, you know, going on Facebook or anything to do a check on him. Umar said, let's do some checks on the man. And this was the golden era. Today, unfortunately, we gullible, we will fall. And I'm saying here, understand it clearly. I'm not suggesting or advocating we think negative of people. But I'm saying there is a distinction between the two. Think good of people, but don't be gullible. فَدَعَى رَجُلٌ يُقَالُ لَهُ حَارِثٌ. He called a man by the name of Harith. He gave him dinars. He said, إِنْتَلِقْ يَا حَارِثٌ إلى بيت عمير بن سعد وأنزل به كأنك ضيف فإن رأيت عليه آثار نعمة فعد كما أتيت وإن وجدت حالا شديدة فأعطه هذه الدنانير. Go to his house. He's staying on the outskirts. Now imagine, this was the former governor of Hims, and suddenly Harith says, when I come on the outskirts of Medina, I'm asking the people, where does Umair say? We don't know who you're talking about. Now, you know where the governors stay and where those that, never mind the governors, a man with a much smaller as a mayor, the profile and the recognition that comes with it. This is the former governor of Hims, whose record has been so pristine and clean and pure that it's unprecedented. Anyway, I came there, I asked people, there's a man by the name of Umair ibn Sa'd that's living somewhere here on the outskirts of Medina. Fadulla alayhi, people then pointed to his house. I come there. I camouflage myself. I said, Umair, how are you? He said, min ayna qadimta? Where are you coming from? I said, min al-Madina. Kayfa tarakta al-Muslimin? How's the Muslims? I said, bi khair. Alhamdulillah, the Muslims are doing good. Kayfa amirul mu'mineen? How's my good friend Umar? He said, bi khair. Alhamdulillah, he's doing good. Alaysa yuqeemu al-hudud? Is he still executing the divine penalties of Allah and establishing the orders of Allah? Bala, bala, walaqad daraba ibnan lahu lifahishatin ataha. Yes, Umar is diligently executing the orders of Allah, to the extent that one of Umar's own sons were found guilty of immorality and Umar flogged him. He said, Allahumma a'in Umar, fa'inni la a'lamuhu illa shadeed al-hubbi lak. He teared and he said, Umar is a great man. I served 1 year under the khilafat of Umar. I couldn't floor the man anyway. He cried and said, Allah take care of Umar. Whatever he does, he is genuine in his love for you. He is genuine in his love. Haris said, I would just like to put up if it's fine with you. He said, no, that's fine. You can stay here. Aqam al-Harith fi dhiyafati Umair ibn Sa'din thalathata layal. For 3 days he stayed there. فَكَانَ يُخْرِجُ لَهُ فِي كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ قُرْسًا مِنَ الشَّعِيرِ. Every day, Umair ibn Sa'd, the former governor, he used to give him a pinch of barley. That's what we got to offer you, a pinch of barley. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْيَوْمُ الثَّالِثِ, when it was the third day, قَالَ لِلْحَارِثِ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْقَوْمِ. Someone from the locality heard about it, so he came and he said, Harith, do you mind? I just want to have a minute with you. He said, yeah, please. He said, لَقَدْ أَجْهَدْتَ عُمَيْرًا وَأَهْلَهُ. فَلَيْسَ لَهُمْ إِلَّا هَذَا الْقُرْسُ الَّذِي يُؤْثِرُونَكَ بِهِ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. You know what? You're really putting the man in great difficulty. We know him and we stay close to him. The man lives such a simple life. I promise you, the only thing him and his whole family has to eat is that little barley which he's given you. So for 3 days, if he gave you that, rest assured him and his family haven't eaten anything. فَإِنْ رَأَيْتَ أَن تَتَحَوَّلْ عَنْهُمْ إِلَيَّ فَفَعَلْ. If you don't mind, then you're more than welcome. Come to my house. I have ample provisions. I have a better place. But this man is really breaking even, living hand to mouth. I said, no, I appreciate it, my brother. I appreciate it. Harith didn't divulge the secret to this man that, you know what, why I have come here and what's the whole plan. He was wise enough to understand. He said, no, I appreciate it. And he then excused himself. And before he excused him, wa'a'ta ad-dananir. He took out the packet in which there was money and he dropped it in the hands of Umair and he said, salamu alaykum. So Umair ibn Sa'd said, Ma hadhihi ad-dananir? What is this money? He said, Ba'atha biha ilayka Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen sent it. He said, Ruddaha ilayhi waqra alayhi salam wa qul lahu la hajata li Umairin biha. Do me a favor, give salams to my friend Umar. Return the money to him and tell him Umair is in good shape. Umair is financially stable. Umair doesn't need any money. Said, I'm thinking to myself, the man has a pinch of barley and he says he's financially stable. Anyway, فصاحت امرأته وكانت تسمع ما يدور بين زوجها وضيفه. His wife yells out from the other room and she heard the altercation. She said, Umair, don't play so tough, man, take it. تمہیں لے لیو یار. Umair, don't play so tough, take it. So Harith said, when I heard his wife saying, take it, Alqad dananir wa uttu. I didn't engage him further. I left the money and I started walking. Because I realized the man is, you know, being so strong and hard, yet obviously there's a crisis. Jama'ad dananir fi surarin saghiratin. He gathers the money in small packets. وَلَمْ يَبِتْ لَيْلَتَهُ تِلْكَ إِلَّا بَعْدَ أَنْ وَزَّعَهَا فِي الْفُقَرَاءِ وَخَصَّ مِنْهُمْ أَبْنَاءَ الشُّهَدَاءِ. It's not like he went to his wife and said, okay, you have it, you wanted it. No, he took that money and before the sun could set, he distributed all that money to the poor people. He distributed all that money to the poor people. عَادَ الْحَارِثُ إِلَى الْمَدِينَةِ. Harith radiallahu anhu comes back to Medina. Umar said, Ma ra'ayt. Harith, how was your trip? He said, it was really an eye-opener. Oh, I learned a lot. I was just amazed by this man. He said, what did you see? He said, halan shadidatan. I seen severe conditions. He said, dafa'at ad-dananir. Did you give the money to the man? He said, yes, I gave it to him. Ma sana'a biha. What did he do? He said, look here, I don't know what he did. But the way the things unfolded, مَا أَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ أَبْقَى لِنَفْسِهِ دِرْهَمًا وَاحِدٍ. I don't think he must have kept one dirham out of that for himself. I really don't know. His wife said this and then I dropped it and walked away. So exactly, I don't know. But the way I gather. So now Umar's anxiety knew no bounds. Umar wrote to him quickly and said, Umar, when you receive my letter, please come back to Medina. I need to talk to you again. So he walks in. So Umar walks in by Hazrat Umar. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu greets him. He said, did you receive the money that I sent to you? He said, yes, I received it. مَا صَنَعْتَ بِالدَّنَانِيرِ. I'm asking you nicely and honestly, Umair, tell me, what did you do with the money? So Umair radiallahu anhu said, وَمَا عَلَيْكَ أَلَّا وَمَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْهَا يَا عُمَرْ إِذَا دَفَعْتَهَا. Umar, you've done your action, you've given the money to me. You don't have the rights of privacy to find out where I've spent my money. I respect you. You see, they were open. They were open. This was the beauty of Sahaba. This was the beauty. Unfortunately, we've got this formality in our lives. And then we talk behind one another's backs. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu says, I was in intimacy with my spouse, Uthman ibn Maz'un. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knocked on the door. So I obviously just grabbed my loincloth and then I came out. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized. He said, لَعَلَّنَا عَجَّلْنَاكَ يَا Uthman. Uthman, I think we put you on the spot, eh? I think we put you on the spot. Uthman said, yes. He said, yes. Oh, Nabi Wallah, yes. He said, no, 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 no problem, no problem. Come in, come in, come in. Come, assalamu alaikum, hi. Hypocrisy, hypocritical. And then I'm stabbing you from the back and I'm giving you this fake smile. Nabi alayhi salam said, Umar, I put you, Uthman, I put you on the spot. He said, yes, O Nabi of Allah, you put me on the spot. I'm saying they were honest. أَقَلُّهُمْ تَكَلُّفًا قُلْ مَا أَسَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُتَكَلِّفِينَ Say unto them, I don't have formalities. I talk straight. I say it as it is. This formalities has made our life miserable. It has taken away all happiness from our life. We're living for the stage. We're painting an image. We fake. We're supernatural. We're hypocritical. Become honest, true, sincere, transparent. Umar said, عَزَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُخْبِرَنِي I will end shortly. عَزَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ أَن تُخْبِرَنِي I insist, Umar, please tell me what you did with the money. He said, اِدَّخَرْتُهَا لِنَفْسِي لِأَن تَفِعَ بِهَا فِي يَوْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ فِيهِ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ اِدَّخَرْتُهَا لِنَفْسِي لِأَن تَفِعَ بِهَا فِي يَوْمٍ لَا يَنْفَعُ فِيهِ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ I have banked the money with a banker that has promised to give me my money in full the day I will need it the most, and that's the day of Qiyamah. فَدَّمَعَتْ عَيْنَا عُمَر Haris says, I was sitting there and I seen Umar crying like I never seen him crying. He said, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا I swear by Allah, Allah was referring to people like you when Allah said, يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصًا That they give preference to others even if poverty comes their lot. Then he said, ثُمَّ دَعَىٰ بِوَسْقٍ مِّنْ تَعَامٍ وَثَوْبَيْنِ He brought a camel load of food and two pieces of cloth. He said, Umar, will you accept this gift from me? He said, أَمَّا الطَّعَامُ فَلَا حَاجَةَ لَنَا فِيهِ Food, there's got to be enough, we won't, I'll take the food. أَمَّا الثَّوْبَانِ فَآخُذُهُمَا لِفُلَانٍ فَقَدْ بَلِيَ ثَوْبُهَا وَكَادَتْ تَعْرَى The cloth, I'll take it, my wife, her clothes are gone old, and she doesn't have adequate clothes to cover herself. He said this, and he walked away. As he walked away, Umar started crying, and he said, وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ لِي رِجَالًا وَدِدْتُ أَنَّ لِي رِجَالًا مِثْلَ عُمَيْرِ بْنِ سَعْدٍ أَسْتَعِينُ بِهِمْ فِي أَعْمَالِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ I wish we had more Umayrs in this ummah. What did Umar say? I wish, you know, we say, I wish I can clone you. Umar said, I wish we had more Umayrs in this ummah. If they could rally around me, the destiny of this ummah would be different. We say to you, Umar, you were lucky, you still had one Umayr. We've become orphans. We don't have one Umayr in this ummah. But we hope from this gathering Allah will create an Umayr. We hope from this gathering Allah will create an Uwais al-Qarni. The hadith of Tirmidhi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِشَفَاعَةِ رَجُلٍ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي أَكْثَرْ مِّنْ بَنِي التَّمِيمِ Oh people, let me tell you, you want my intercession, one person from my ummah will intercede. And he'll intercede for so many people more than the people of the tribe of Tamim. Thousands. And his intercession will be accepted. Hassan Basri used to say, without doubt, that person is Uwais Qarni. Imagine who will enter Jannah and with him will take thousands of people. 2 minutes and I'm going to wrap up. I want to end on another point on the same note. Very brief. Very, very brief. This is same thing. And that is the daughter of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu. Abu Darda's daughter received a proposal from the son of Muawiyah, Yazid, the Khalifa, the prince of the time. Now, you know, that wedding would come with so much pomp and glory. So, Abu Darda radiallahu anhu reflected and then he declined. He said, no. I won't be getting my daughter married to Yazid, the son of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Fasara dhalika fin nas, people started speaking and they said, khataba Yazid ibn Muawiyah bint Abi Darda fa'aba wa zawwajaha li rajulin min ammati al-muslimin. I mean, what a profile proposal from the prince. What an honor. And he just refuses and denies his daughter this opportunity. And he got his daughter married to a simple, ordinary man. So people started speaking a lot about it. So he said, listen people, I heard you making comments regarding the partner I have chosen for my daughter. إِنَّمَا تَحَرَّيْتُ إِنَّمَا تَحَرَّيْتُ صَلَاحَ أَمْرِ الدَّرْدَى. I reflected at length before I decided in who I'm going to wed my daughter to. And I decided what I decided in the interest of my daughter. So people said, I mean, getting married to the son of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, secure his deen, her deen, dunya, fame, recognition, everything. They said, مَا ظَنَّكُمْ بِالدَّرْدَى إِذَا قَامَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهَا الْعَبِيدِ يَخْدِمُونَهَا وَوَجَدَتْ نَفْسَهَا فِي قُسُورٍ يَخْطَفُ لَأْلَاؤُهَا الْبَصَرُ أَيْنَ يُصْبِحُ دِينُهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ. I haven't taught my daughter sufficiently how to conduct herself in the lap of luxury. So I don't know if suddenly she's going to find thousands of servants around her and she'll be transferred into a palatial home and into the embellishments and the luxuries of this world, and she will become the envy of her girls and the friends of her neighborhood. I wonder, in all this luxury, what will happen to the iman of my daughter? I wonder what will happen to the iman. So rather she preserves her faith, lives a simple life. When Abu Darda radiallahu anhu passed away, Awf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i yarahu fin nawm, seen him in a dream. So what did he see first? First he seen marjan, a meadow. Akhdar, green. Warif al-Afya, broad landscape. حَوْلَهُ غَنَمٌ رَابِضَةٌ. Around it there was a flock of sheep grazing. لَمْ تَرَ الْعَيْنُ مِثْلَهَا. Never has the eye seen such a beautiful sight. And in the center of this meadow was قُبَّةٌ عَظِيمَةٌ مِّنْ أُدْمٍ. There was this massive tent out of exclusive leather. So Awf ibn Malik al-Ashja'i said, in the dream I asked, لِمَنْ هَذَا. To who is this beautiful meadow and this tent and everything? And they said, لِعَبْدِ الرَّحْمَنِ ibn Awf. This belongs to Abdurrahman ibn Auf. فَطَّلَعَ مِنَ الْقُبَّةِ Abdurrahman ibn Aufin. So Abdurrahman ibn Auf then emerges from the tent. And he says, هَذَا مَا أَعْطَانَ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِالْقُرْآنِ يَبْنَ مَالِكِ. O Auf ibn Malik, this what you see, Allah gave me because of my love for Quran. وَلَوْ طَلَعْتَ هَذِهِ الثَّنِيَّةِ لَرَأَيْتَ مَا لَمْ تَرَ عَيْنُكِ وَسَمِعْتَ مَا لَمْ تَسْمَعْ أُذُنُكِ وَوَجَدْتَ مَا لَمْ يَخْطُرْ عَلَى بَشَرْ وَوَجَدْتَ مَا لَمْ يَخْطُرْ عَلَى قَلْبِكْ. But that's not all. Walk forward, walk forward. And if you just climb this hill, you will see, you'll be startled, you'll be perplexed, you'll be riveted. There are bounties, there are palaces, there are homes you've never ever seen. He said, I'll climb up, and to my utter surprise, I'm just gripped by this beauty. So I asked Abdurrahman ibn Auf, for who is this here? He said, لِأَبِ الدَّرْدَى. لِمَنْ ذَلِكَ كُلُّهُ يَا أَبَا مُحَمَّدْ. For who is all these palatial homes and these rivers? He said, it is for Abu Darda. So he took it away from his daughter in this world, lived a simple life, lived a basic life, obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, kept himself humble and simple, and Allah gave it to him in full measure in akhirat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us amongst the pious servants. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with true humility. Bless us with true sincerity. Fudayl ibn Ayyaz said, what is humility? أن تنقاد للحق ولو سمعته من صبي قبلته ولو سمعته من أجهل الناس قبلته. Humility is to submit to the truth even if you hear it from your juniors or from the most ignorant of people. So even if a small boy comes and tells you, if you submit to the truth, that is humility. Once again, I take the opportunity to extend my gratitude to everyone for affording me this opportunity, and to the IST, Abdul Akbar, Mufti Saab, and the entire crew here, everybody else. my host that has been with me all the years, Qari Abdul Rahman, and one and all that have made my stay short, sweet, and wholesome. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our get together, reward you for hosting, for accommodating, for attending, and may Allah subhanahu